Welcome to the Media Madhouse. I am your insane host, Randy Dyes. How you guys doing today? It is the second day of this new incarnation, I guess you can say, of the Media Madhouse. I am so excited. I am so jazzed about all of it. And we've got a lot to talk about today. We've got a lot of topics to go over. Hopefully you guys are excited about it like I am. So without any more delay, let's get right to our first topic. And our first topic today is something a little light. I know you guys are waiting for the big story, but we're going to get to that in a second, so just hold tight. Apparently, The Simpsons producer, or at least one of the producers, Al Jean, was asked recently in an interview about a Simpsons sequel feature film. It's been 13 years since they did the first one. I mean, I don't know what's taking them so long. But, yeah, it's been 13 years since The Simpsons' silver screen debut. And Al Jean has now offered an update on a long-awaited sequel. The original 2007 feature-length animated film pulled in over $500 million at the global box office. But it doesn't seem like his team is in much of a hurry, in spite of the fact that they raked in all that cash. What's funny about the whole thing is that apparently a sequel has been in development since 2018. 2018, it's been officially in development. So they've been at it for a little bit, and apparently it's still in the, quote, very early stages. But Gene was quoted in the interview saying, "We would love to do one for Disney, but it's not like it's happening next week or next year." He continued on to say that, you know, basically coming up with a second idea or a second chance at going to cinema is never really easy. I'm sure. I'm reading this quote wrong. The quote is, "It's never easy. This I'm sure of. We would only do it if it's an idea that we thought deserved being made into another movie. We certainly don't need to have more Simpsons out there just for money or to have additional material. We would do it if we thought it was a great story and we wanted to tell it at later." My notes are just all jumbled right now. Basically, we wouldn't do it just to have more Simpsons out there or just for money or to have additional material. We would do it if we thought it was a great story and we wanted to tell it. So he also added later on in the interview that if they did a second one, it would not be a sequel film to the original. It would be its own standalone film. But the thing is that gets me about this article and this interview that really stood out to me is the fact that you've got a producer. He's obviously got his hands in the pie. He's obviously got a slice. And it's really, honestly, kind of refreshing from my point of view to have somebody who's in a producer's chair, who has this thing that is raking in money everywhere, that people go see it. Obviously, Simpsons movie, $500 million for a Simpsons movie? For a show that you can literally watch for free on TV. You know, that's impressive. And the fact that he said that, you know, we would not do it for money. We would not do it, you know, to put more stuff out there. Whether or not that holds up, it is very refreshing for me to hear somebody at that level actually make that statement. Again, he could change his mind tomorrow. That's completely possible. But it is something that I find at least a little bit refreshing to have a producer actually say, you know, it's not about the money, it's about the quality and the story and the creative side of it. So, I don't know, guys, what do you think about this? Go to the Facebook page, you know, send me a message, hit me up in an email or send me a voice chat, and yeah, let me know what you guys think about all this. Okay. All right, our second topic today, Jurassic World 3. I don't know how many of you guys are excited about this, but I absolutely love the Jurassic Park franchise. 3 is my least favorite of the Jurassic Park series, not gonna lie. And I love the Jurassic World series. I know a lot of people have issues with Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, but I personally love it, so if you don't like it, we'll just have to agree to disagree. All film is subjective, so we'll just have to live with that. But apparently, they're teasing another return of one of the Jurassic Park original cast members. So, they've been dropping a little bit of news here and there about who's coming back. Apparently, the original three are coming back, along with Chris Pratt, and I believe Bryce Dallas Howard is still on there, if she's not just crazy. But original cast members Sam Neill is coming back, Jeff Goldblum, which is his second time in the Jurassic World franchise, and Laura Dern are all three of them are coming back to be in the franchise for this third installment. Now, my question is, are they going to retcon anything from Jurassic Park 3? And some of you might know what I'm referencing. If you don't, then it's probably better you don't. But some of you might get what I'm referencing at. But I'm wondering if they're going to retcon anything that they did in Jurassic Park 3. As far as certain original cast members are concerned. But besides all these people coming back, they're also talking about or teasing the Tim Murphy character, which that would be John Hammond's grandson's, the grandson character. He is rumored to come back. I don't know if he's doing the teasing. I believe he's doing kind of the teasing and stuff like that. I think Chris Pratt's kind of hyping some things up too. Chris Pratt's probably the ultimate hype man at this point. But, yeah, apparently they're hinting at possibly Timmy coming back. Now this would not be his first return to the franchise since the, iconic original film. He was in a, what I would call a glorified cameo in, Jurassic Park Lost World. Literally for all of about 20 to 25 seconds. So I have no clue and there's no indication if this will be a substantial role for him. Or if this is just going to be another glorified cameo. But, I mean, for me personally, honestly, I could really care less. I know it's, I don't understand. I mean, the Sam Neill, Laura Dern, Jeff Goldblum, that I get. You know, that I get. Big, iconic, you know, characters in the film, in the films. I mean, you know, it's just really just, wow. That would be awesome to see, you know, Sam Neill and Chris Pratt. Jeff Goldblum and Chris Pratt. Like, that'd be so awesome to see. I don't really care about Tim. I really just don't. I'm trying here. I really am. I just don't care. be honest with you, I just don't care. And I'm trying my best here. I really am, but this is good lordy. So yeah, I mean, it's cool, I guess. It's nice. I'm way more excited about Neil Goldblum and Dern than I am about Murphy. So there's that, I guess. I'm going to move on to the next subject because at this point I really don't think I have anything positive to say. Good for the actor, yay! Got a gig. That's all I can think about. Next topic. And speaking of things that I just don't give a good damn about. Might as well keep the trend going. So there have been some pictures of Robert Pattinson's Batman and riding a motorcycle, a bat cycle, if you want to call it that, in his bat costume. It's not even Robert Pattinson, it's a stunt double, but still, you get the basic gist. It's that Batman. It's the Batman. Guys, I'm sorry. I just don't give a damn at this point. The suit does not look attractive to me right now. Maybe it will on screen. Maybe it'll get on screen and it'll just blow my mind. I'm sorry. I'm looking at these pictures. And dear God, I don't care. It looks like a 12-year-old cosplayer put it together. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm wrong. But, God, night in Dodge City. I have the pictures posted on Facebook.com/MediaMadhouse. Along with a poll. You want to put me in my place? You want to show me what an idiot I am? I put a poll up there, too, with the pictures. To see if you guys actually give a damn about this at all. Or if this is, like, shaking the entire fabric of your world. But I'm sorry, but the costume just does not impress me. I'm trying so hard here. I read an article, the ears are longer than expected. Who cares? Who cares about the damn ears? Who cares about that stuff? My lord. To me, it looks like Batman is a steampunk, and it just doesn't work. You know, Dark Knight steampunk. I don't know. It just doesn't work for me. It just doesn't work for me right now. Again, maybe I'll see it on screen and it'll be like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. Oh my God, I can't believe it. Maybe. Okay. Maybe. I'm sorry about going on these couple of rants, but I just don't get it. All right, let's get to the big story, because I need some good news. And this is about as good a news as you can get in the business. All right, here's the big, big, big news. Harvey Weinstein found guilty of third-degree rape and criminal sexual conduct. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about right now, where have you been? This is probably the biggest story, unfortunately. Truthfully, it's unfortunately and fortunately. But it's probably the biggest story in entertainment in a long time. And the fact that this POS ratbag not only got caught, not only couldn't buy his way out of it or influence his way out of it or muscle his way out of it is one of the greatest things, in my opinion. The fact that he not only got caught, but he faced his accusers. He went through the judicial system like you're supposed to. and he was found guilty of crimes that he had committed, and now he's going to pay the price for it. I'm sorry, but God bless America for that one. This is an amazing, amazing story that somebody who did something horrific is brought to justice. And now, honestly, I know this kind of thing goes on in all aspects, not just all aspects of work, not just in the film industry, but in the music industry and in the industrial energy industry and the automotive industry. This kind of stuff happens all the time. Unfortunately, it's just a fact of life, you know, where you have power and influence, you have scumbags, you know, where you have men and women working together, you have scumbags. It doesn't mean that everything is pointless. It doesn't mean that, you know, everything is doomed. It just means that the people that aren't the scumbags need to keep an eye out, and everybody needs to kind of stick together to protect the collective from these sick, twisted individuals. But let's keep going with this. So Weinstein, formerly of former Hollywood producer and head of Miramax, was found guilty by a Manhattan jury Monday for two charges related to sexual assault out of five and faces as many as 25 years in prison. 13 women have accused him. Now, he also has charges waiting for him in California as well. So basically, either way, dude's screwed. And I'm okay with this. And if you're not okay with this, then you need to jump off a bridge. Because this guy's a monster. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Anybody who would take advantage of anyone, not just a woman. Brendan Fraser came out and said that he was, you know, sexually assaulted by a couple of, by at least one producer that I remember. I think it was Terry Crews talked about the same thing happened to him. This isn't just a woman's thing. This is also a man's thing as well. You know, this kind of stuff happens, and it's one of those things where, you know, whether with men or with women, you know, I've heard the arguments on both sides. What, this person couldn't protect themselves? They couldn't deal with this person or whatever? They probably could have. But most people like to keep eating. Most people like to keep working. And when you're up against somebody who has power and influence, it's a scary, scary thing. And you have to sit there and think, well, okay, if I do this, then what's going to happen to me after the fact? So the fact that somebody who's an abuser of women, an abuser of human beings, and an abuser of power is paying for it now just makes me warm and fuzzy on the inside. So hot damn, I'm so happy about this one. All right, our next topic. Chris Evans is in talks to play the dentist, Oren Scrivello? I'm sorry if you're a big fan of this film. I'm probably butchering it, and you're probably going to kill me for it later. From Little Shop of Horrors, the remake that is being helmed by director Greg Berlanti for Warner Brothers. The role is described as flashy and comes with a scene-stealing signature song, Dentist. It's going to be interesting if he gets this role to see Chris Evans, a.k.a. Captain America, being a flashy dentist in a musical. It's going to be very interesting. And apparently Steve Martin originally played the role in the 1986 film. The original 1986 film. So it's going to be even more interesting now. Chris Evans is doing a role that was made famous, I'm assuming film-wise, made famous by Steve Martin. That's a new one. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I have not seen Little Shop of Horrors. I know. I hear your screams of agony already. But I haven't seen it. I'll check it out before this version comes out. So I can kind of A-B it. But this is, for me, it would be interesting for this reason. Even though I haven't seen the film, either, you know, the new one or the old one, obviously. But for me, it would be fascinating because of the fact that I would love to see Chris Evans do something that is, from what I understand, more to him. He was raised doing like musicals and dance and things of that nature. I know it sounds funny to see or to think about, you know, Captain America or, you know, the first time I ever saw Chris Evans, not another teen movie. Yeah, that one. He was in that movie. I ever meet him, I'm going to give him such crap. I'm going to buy a copy of Not Another Teen Movie and make him sign it on camera. And then I'm going to frame it and put it in my house. but yeah, to see that guy, you know, obviously he had an amazing run as Captain America. I still love him as Captain America, and I'm hoping that they find a way to bring him back so that he can continue to be Captain America at some point. For, you know, his role in Knives Out, Snowpiercer, I believe was the movie that he did. I mean, he's an amazing actor. I even liked him in the Fantastic Four movies. Yeah, I know. Shocker. Shut up. I liked those movies, and he was one of the reasons why I liked those movies. He was entertaining. You know, there's a song with Anna Faris, What's Your Number? Not the greatest movie on the planet, but he made it enjoyable. He made it an experience. So for this, he has the personality for something like this. So that makes me really excited. I know that he can sing. I know that he has a musical background. So it would be really cool for me to see him expand on that and actually showcase that in something, you know, that he might have in the past a little bit here and there, but I mean, actually substantially, you know, look what I did, look what I can do. So I'm interested in this for those reasons. Besides the fact that Chris Evans is an amazing actor, I want to see it. I would love to see it. All right. This will be our second to last topic today. I know. I'm sad too. I've been loving every second of this, but apparently, let's see, Mission Impossible 7 filming scheduled. Oh, okay. Sorry, I misread that. Let me paraphrase really quick. Mission Impossible 7's filming in Venice is halted because of the coronavirus. Apparently, they've had some more I don't know if there's been outbreaks or casualties. I don't know what the word is for that. But they've had more cases of it. And basically, the government shut things down and then also talked to Paramount. I'm sure they had some back and forth. And Paramount put out this following statement. Basically saying that they were concerned about the well-being of their cast and crew, and with the efforts of the local government, decided to halt filming because of the public gatherings that it would obviously bring about. So they're basically halting production. It was supposed to film for 3 weeks in Venice, and basically, they put it on hold, sent the crew home to kind of be with their families and everything. until production starts back up, and essentially they're going to monitor the situation alongside health and government officials and basically try to keep everybody up to date on what's going on and where the production is at what particular time. Obviously, this is a commendable thing on Paramount's part, protecting, you know, their cast and their crew, and also protecting the people of Venice, because, you know, somebody who might have it and not realize it and be a carrier might go out into, like, you know, this crowd of people trying to watch Tom Cruise do something to end his life abruptly, and, you know, it could start an epidemic. So, commendable on Paramount's part. By far, no questions whatsoever. I'm curious to see if they're actually going to be able to do it, or if they're going to have to fake it. You know, CG, green screen, you know, back lot, you know, something like that. I'm kind of curious to see what they're going to do. Especially because the film that they're doing right now, Mission Impossible 7, is supposed to, scheduled to premiere July 23rd, 2021. So, July of next year. It's supposed to be released. And then Mission Impossible 8 is supposed to be released August 5th of 2022. So I'm kind of curious to see where this goes. Obviously, you know, we'll, you know, keep an eye on this. See if anything new pops up. You know, if you guys have any thoughts or anything else, hit me up on the Media Madhouse. Facebook.com/MediaMadhouse or email me at MediaMadhouse@gmail.com. Sorry, MediaMadhousePod@gmail.com. Can't believe I got that wrong. MediaMadhousePod, one word, @gmail.com. And yeah, if you guys have something to say about it or anything you want to comment, just let me know. Or you can use the voice thing here. It's a really cool feature. All right, here we go for our last topic. And our last topic, we talked about Sonic yesterday, and you might remember me making a comment about more video game movies being made. Well, no sooner did I open my mouth than this story drops. Eli Roth is directing a Borderlands movie for Lionsgate. Basically, you might know Eli Roth, he's mainly a horror director, which fits with the Borderlands style pretty well. He's the guy that I call the gore porn director. He loves himself some gore porn. And his films, most overall, are not really my cup of tea. I love horror. I'm doing a slasher film soon. I love horror. I'm not a gore guy. You know, he did, called The Green Inferno, and he's done other stuff, and it's just not my cup of tea. Not into that kind of thing. But he did do a youth slash kids slash family entertainment film with the house with a clock in its walls. My daughter absolutely loved it, thought it was great. So he's had something that's kind of bridged the gap between his horror background and some family stuff. I don't know if Borderlands would necessarily be family, but it's nice to see that he can go from the gore porn thing and kind of just have the creepy vibe and yet still have some fun and adventure mixed in. So that fits with the Borderlands a lot. And apparently, you know, he's got his sights set on Borderlands, which makes me very interested. And the thing is, Borderlands is one of the most successful games in history. It sold 57 million units. And in case you don't know what Borderlands is or what it's about, the basic story focuses on a group of four vault hunters who travel to a distant planet, there's always a planet, named Pandora, to hunt down these aliens that are rumored to contain advanced technology, and they quickly find themselves battling the local wildlife and bandit populations as they attempt to stop the head of a private army from reaching the vault first. Chernobyl writer Craig Mazin Was the most recent writer of the most recent draft of the script, but there is some chance that Roth will put his own writing in as well before the cameras roll, which doesn't surprise me because Roth does a lot of, you know, even if he has somebody else write for him, he adds a little bit to himself. Roth said in an interview, "I am so excited to dive into the world of Borderlands, and I could not be doing it with a better script, producing team, and studio. I have a long history, successful history, with Lionsgate. I feel that we have grown up together, and that everything in my directing career has led to a project of this scale and ambition. I look forward to bringing my own energy, idea, and vision to the wild, fun, and endless creative world of the game." Randy Pitchford and everyone at Gearbox has been incredibly supportive. They're the creators of the game. "Of my ideas, it really feels like a perfect storm of creators coming together. We are out to make a new class act, one of which the fans of the game will love, but also one which will find audiences globally." For me, I'm excited about this. You know, I am curious. I think Borderlands would be an interesting movie. I'm kind of curious what their narrative would be, how they're going to go about it. But yeah, that's my opinion, guys. I think it's an interesting thing, and I'm kind of curious what they're going to do with it. I think it'll be interesting. All right, guys, that is it for our second day of the Media Madhouse. I want to thank you guys so much for joining me today, for listening to me rant and rave. I really appreciate it. Guys, if you haven't yet, please go to facebook.com/Media Madhouse. Like the page. Join the conversation. Get on the polls. Be involved. Everything that we go on there is going to go on the podcast or vice versa. It's going to be it's a lot of fun and a lot of awesome times and opportunities for us to be able to interact together. Also, if you have any comments or questions or just want to tell me I'm an idiot, email me, MediaMadhousePod@gmail.com, or send me a voice message on here on the Anchor app. It's really easy, really simple, and I'd love to hear from you guys. Also, if you haven't yet and you're able to or you're considering it, consider supporting this podcast. There's a little support button. Anything you do will help me be able to bring you guys more content and expand things, because I have a lot of vision for this and I want it to only get better from here. But thank you guys so much. Thank you for joining me, and I hope you guys will join me tomorrow.